Boomer Radio on Freedom 95 with your host, Julie Patterson.
I'm so excited. I think he's my favorite guest. Well, it's hard. It's like, no, Andy Ray is back. Love Andy Ray. He's our movie critic. So welcome to Boomer Radio.
Thanks for having me back.
I think it's because you're so much fun, and I enjoy that so much.
I try to be.
We do a lot of very serious topics because it's Boomer Radio, you know, from estate planning and just, you know, two dimension, all kinds of things. So it's nice to just kind of let our hair down, right, Mary Pat?
You betcha.
Once in a while and just have a good time. So we're going to have a good time today.
There are some titles that have come out on DVD, Blu-ray, since we talked last on the Oscar show that baby boomers will love.
Oh, well, let's talk about it. Let's just jump right in.
Okay, especially this first one. Okay, I got a question for you. Who's Molly Bloom?
Oh, it's not Molly Brown, and it's not Molly Ringwald.
No. No, you didn't know.
I don't know.
Your initial reaction, I thought, my God, she's heard of her.
She
was an Olympic athlete. She was an Olympic skier in the 2002 Olympics. She had a very bad fall and injured herself and couldn't ski anymore.
Oh, horrible.
Okay, but she is a real person.
Okay.
After her fall, she was going to go to law school and took a year off, moved to California, and got a job with a guy who is a real estate agent. But on the side, the guy ran a high-stakes weekly poker game.
Okay.
And he had her help checking people in and dispersing the cash payouts and so forth. She wrote an autobiography about her poker experience, which eventually...
Oh, no. Led to bad things. He got arrested.
Led to bad things.
Oh,
by an FBI mafia. Investigation.
Oh, yeah, mafia?
Russian mafia. Yes.
Oh,
this movie is called... Okay. Molly's Game.
Okay.
It's called Molly's Game. It was out over the holidays.
Okay.
But it totally got lost in the Oscar shuffle.
I see.
And it shouldn't have. Jessica Chastain plays Molly Bloom. She's a great actress. She's better here than she's ever been.
Okay.
It was written by Aaron Sorkin, directed by him. It's his directorial debut. He's mostly a TV writer, but he's also written Steve Jobs and what was the one about Facebook? The Social Network.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote that and A Few Good Men years ago.
Oh, wow. You can't handle the truth!
That's right. So this movie is absolutely excellent.
Okay.
It was, I think, probably my favorite mainstream movie of 2018.
What was it called?
Molly's Bloom? Game.
Molly's Game.
It's
Molly's
about
Game. So check
Molly
that one
Bloom.
Out. Can we find that like at the Redbox or somewhere?
Okay. Oh, cool. Yeah. It's been out for a little while now.
Okay.
She, when the FBI gets a hold of her, she gets a high-powered lawyer and I forget his name, but he's played by Idris Elba.
Oh.
He's brilliant, too. Mm-hmm. She's brilliant. He's brilliant.
Okay.
And the banter they have back and forth.
I do.
It's fast. It's quick. You got to pay attention.
Uh-huh.
No bathroom breaks in this one.
Gilmore Girls is kind of like that as well, I think. Feel like their banter's quick.
Yes.
So, Molly's Game.
Molly's Game.
What else should we rent at the DVD place?
You've never heard of Novitiate. It's another one that totally
Bless
got
you.
Lost in the Oscar shuffle. It's about a young nun in the novitiate portion of her training to join the sisterhood.
Now, do I need to be Catholic to understand
not
what
at all.
That is? Okay.
I'm Catholic and I don't understand.
Okay.
There you go. And my wife's Catholic and I don't think she understands. I followed it very well. You don't really have to know anything about the Catholic faith or any faith. This girl's mother, in fact, is agnostic.
Most people know what agnostic is, but you just don't believe there is a God, right?
Or you question whether there is a God or not. The mother takes her girl to church at a young age. The girl loves it. She describes church as peaceful, which is an ironic description for church, but her home life is so...
Whacked.
Her dad is mostly absent, and when he's there, he's often drunk and in a rage, and she just
Not a pleasant place to
be. So she enjoys church. As she gets older, a nun recommends to the mother that she enroll the girl in Catholic school.
Mm-hmm.
The mother agrees to that, although naively doesn't, I guess, realize that Catholic religion is taught in Catholic school. And then her daughter decides to become a nun and join the sisterhood.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this is about. And the time frame for her postulate and novitiate period of sisterhood is right during the Second Vatican Council in the mid-1960s. And that's when a lot of the conventions of the Catholic Church were changing, and a lot of the walls were broken down. The priests didn't have to give the Mass in Latin anymore. Now they did it in the native languages. Mm-hmm. They didn't have to face the cross. They turned around and faced the congregation.
Interesting. Yeah.
A lot of changes were made to the training periods for the sisterhood. They got rid of a lot of the old harsh methods of training, I guess, for want of a better word. And
it kind of shows that stuff.
It shows that stuff. And okay. I thought this movie, Novitiate, was going to embrace the changes brought about by the Second Vatican Council. It really didn't.
Ah.
It didn't really take a side.
Hmm.
And, for example, when the Mother Superior announces the changes, a lot of the older nuns are in tears because they don't want...
Oh, that's their tradition.
Yeah, that's their tradition. They don't want it changed. And a lot of the younger nuns, the nuns who are in training, they don't know any better. So it's not like a stand up and cheer, everything's changing.
Who stars in this?
It leaves it very open-ended. Margaret Qualley plays the girl, and
would we know her from something?
We probably would know her from something, although right now I can't put my finger on it. The Reverend Mother is played by Melissa Leo, who is just fantastic.
She's brilliant.
She's great, and
she's
been nominated
for Oscars.
I think she was nominated for supporting actress for this. If not, she should have been.
Okay,
but that would have been the only nomination.
Again, it flew
under the radar. This is not as good as Molly's Game, but it's refreshing because it doesn't talk down to the church.
Okay. Yeah.
Most movies about the church, and especially the Catholic Church,
treat
them in a very bad light. Having said that, I love Spotlight, but I thought that was more a movie about journalism and not the Catholic Church.
All right. Another DVD that's out that we might enjoy.
The Greatest Showman. That's the one about P.T. Barnum, and it has Hugh Jackman, who sang, didn't know he could sing until Les Miserables. He's in this. He sings. He's great.
I love that movie.
You saw it.
It's great.
A lot of people saw that one. So this one, as big of a surprise. But for those of you who listened to most of the critics who didn't like it, I'm here to tell you it's good.
It's not great,
but it's very good.
Well, he was nominated for a Golden Globe. He was that good.
He was that good.
And I was surprised he didn't get other nominations,
but he did not. I was surprised, too. The big showstopper tune, This Is Me, was nominated for Best Song. There was also a song, Rewrite the Stars, that I liked. That was about an interracial...
Zac Efron and Zendaya.
Zac Efron plays
the characters.
Yeah, he plays P.T. Barnum's partner, business partner in this. He's good. Now, I knew he could sing because he was in High School Musical.
Yes.
And Zendaya, I'm not exactly sure who she is, but boy, she was good in
this. Yeah, she's like 19. So she's probably 20 now, but when she did the movie, 19. But she has had several hits on the Top 40 radio. So.
Okay.
Yep. And I was on the cover of In Style magazine. She's a beautiful woman.
Very beautiful. And the song she sings with Zac Efron is great, too. The best singer is...
You should rent this one, Mary Pat.
Yeah, it really is good.
It sounds good.
The
music is great.
Yeah. I think what a lot of critics didn't like about it was it didn't play fair with P.T. Barnum's history. He exploited people.
But they let him in a way.
He exploited animals. He wasn't the greatest person in the world. This glosses over all that and makes him out to be a hero and a family man, which he was.
I liked at the end where, like, there's this one, there's a person who's very short and everybody thinks he's a little boy. He's not. He's a grown man. And when he talks, you can tell that he's a grown man. At the end of the movie, they tell you that he ended up being the most popular actor in England for the next 20 years.
Really?
Yes.
I had forgotten that.
I can see how, you know, as we know, circuses and performance and whatever could sort of take advantage of the quirkiness of...
Absolutely.
Someone, it could also, you know, shoot him right to stardom. It's a choice. Do I want to be a celebrity? Do I not?
Right.
You know, everything that comes with it.
Is this one kid appropriate?
I was just thinking. It's a family film. It really is.
Okay. Michelle Williams is in it, plays his wife. She's wonderful.
I didn't realize she could sing either.
I didn't either. But she can.
I was going to say, she must.
It is a little rewriting of history, but it's a musical.
And there's also a love triangle part that the kids might ask you about, but not. It's never.
Nothing.
No big deal.
Nothing that they wouldn't understand.
No.
You got to remember, one of the greatest musicals ever was about Eva Peron. So if they can put her in a good light, they can put P.T. Barnum in a good light. There's nothing wrong with that. Not to be confused with the 1980 Broadway musical called Barnum.
Okay.
Not the same music. I wish they would make a movie about that.
I love your recommendations. I've seen one out of the three, and I'm going to definitely rent the other on DVD. They sound terrific.
Thank you.
So tell you what, we're talking with Andy Ray. He's our Boomer Radio movie critic. He's given us three great suggestions for DVDs that we might want to watch this summer. And coming up next, you're going to give us maybe a couple of movies that we might want to go to that might still be out in the theaters or coming out soon.
There's one coming out this summer that I really want to highlight that's not your typical summer fare. It's not a big blockbuster. Oh. It's not a superhero movie, but it's one that adults are going to like.
Okay.
And then there's a couple out now in the movie theaters that I want to hit.
All right. We'll be right back with that and more right here on Boomer Radio on Freedom 95. Stand by.
Boomer Radio with Julie Patterson continues right after the break. Boomer Radio with Julie Patterson on Freedom 95.
Welcome back. We're here with Andy Ray from Arts Channel Indie, where you also do movie reviews.
Yes.
So you can catch even more there. We target our chat to what, you know, the 50-plus crowd might enjoy the most. So
there is one out now.
Oh, we're talking about movies that might be in the theaters now. We talked about DVDs. So which one is out now that you're going to recommend?
Okay, there's a couple out now that I want to discuss, and you're probably going to need to see both of them before they leave the theater. Okay, they've both been out a little while.
Okay.
You've probably heard of Tully. That's the one with Charlize Theron, and she plays a mother. She's got a new baby. She's also got two elementary-age kids, and she's just frazzled.
Gosh. Pat, remember the days when the kids were little and you were frazzled? I was.
Oh, I was
so
never frazzled.
I was exhausted and frazzled. So okay. Charlize plays a frazzled mom.
She gets a night nanny. That's a girl who comes at night, spends the night, takes care of the baby when the baby cries.
Wow.
She puts the baby.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, I was going to say, wouldn't that be nice?
Yes.
I bet Kate Middleton has one of those. Do you think?
Probably.
She got one for each kid.
Yeah, probably. You know, the night nanny is played by Mackenzie Davis. She's very good. She bonds instantly with the baby. She even brings the baby upstairs for mother's milk in the middle of the night when the baby... Yes, and she stays for the entire feeding.
Mm-hmm.
And then she takes the baby back down.
Mm-hmm.
She even goes so far as to bake cupcakes for Charlize Theron to take to her kid's school and let Charlize Theron take credit for, I baked these.
Yeah, which she didn't.
Which she did not.
We call that in modern days, Meyer.
Yeah, we call that Meyer. So, anyway, everything looks like it's going to work out great. It's the same director and writer as Juno about 10 years
ago.
I loved Juno, too. This one I didn't love as well. And the character, the night nanny, that is Tully, is less abrasive than Juno and a little more philosophical, but that's just the character.
But she doesn't turn into the hand that rocks the cradle person.
No, not at all. Good. No, okay. That would be a horror movie, and that's not what this is.
Good,
It all goes very predictably, and I guess if I had one fault, that would be it. Although, once Charlize Theron and Tully decide to go out drinking one night and leave the kids with the husband.
Uh-oh.
And no, the husband's not a bad guy. The husband is absent sometimes on business, and he's always there to help with homework, but, you know, guys only know so much, right?
It's true.
Yeah.
I put him right about third grade. What are you saying?
Yeah. I'm not touching
I'm
it.
Kidding.
But once Charlize Theron and Tully go out drinking, I thought, I know exactly where this is going to go.
Uh-oh.
I know how the second half of this movie is going to go. It is totally different from what you expect.
Okay, I have two scenarios that I expect, mm-hmm. and I'm not sure which one it's going to be.
It's
Mary
neither
Pat,
one.
Neither one. Okay.
Neither
okay.
one.
So leave me some suspense. I like that. I'm good with that.
Yeah. Good dialogue, just like Juno in that respect. Sharp and witty. What I don't understand is why Focus Features released this so early in the year.
Hmm. Like buried it.
Yeah, buried it. If they had waited until next fall to release this, it's good enough, it would be up for Oscar consideration.
I'm sure it has to do with little meetings that happen in little rooms.
It probably does.
With people who think they have power and probably do have power. I don't know.
It could still receive a nomination or two, but I think it would stand a better chance if they had waited a little bit later.
Is that what typically happens?
Typically happens, yes.
It would be the movies that come out the last part of the year.
No, in 1996, Fargo came out in January, and it received a lot of Oscar
Yeah, look
Oscar
what happened
award.
There.
Yeah, look what happened there.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's another one out now called The Rider.
Okay.
It's about a rodeo rider.
Rider, R-I-D-E-R.
R-I-D-E-R, yes. I know absolutely nothing about rodeo, nor do I particularly care.
And I've been to one in Mesquite, Texas.
I loved it. There is hardly any rodeo action in this movie.
Uh-oh. But it's called The Rider.
The Rider. It's about the lifestyle of rodeo riders.
Huh.
It stars an actual rodeo rider. His sister, who has Asperger's syndrome, is played by his real-life sister, and his dad is played by his real-life
dad.
That's
so cool.
Now, it's not a documentary. It is scripted, but it's played by the real people.
That's very unusual. That doesn't happen very often.
No, Clint Eastwood used that in 1517 to Paris, which was out early in the year.
Yeah.
And that was a terrible movie.
Was it because of the acting?
Not at all.
He's talking about
not
the
at all.
Three gentlemen who saved, they were in the middle of a terrorist
attack on a train in Paris, or on his way to Paris.
And he used the real guys.
Stopped it. Used the real guys. It was not a particularly good movie. The three guys had nothing to do with the fact that it wasn't a good movie.
All right.
In the writer, all the real people have nothing to do with the fact that it's a great movie. It's just a great movie.
The same story flipped.
So is it a gimmick? Yeah, maybe, but it certainly hits home when you realize these are the real people. The most touching scenes are when the hero goes to visit his friend, who is a championship writer, who is now paralyzed and speaks through sign language. And the two of them discuss rodeo, old rodeo stories, and what's going on now. And that person is actually played by a rodeo writer who really is paralyzed and speaks through sign language.
This is like method acting.
It really is. Huh. It's very touching. It doesn't talk down to the lifestyle of rodeo. If I made it sound like it did, I didn't mean to.
No, there's, you know, to each his own. It takes all kinds.
It really does. And one of the greatest 2 minutes of this movie is where the hero tames a wild horse. In real life, he took about an hour and a half, 2 hours to tame this horse. It was all filmed and then edited down to a two-minute sequence.
Oh, my goodness.
And you really do watch a rodeo rider taming a wild horse.
Wow.
So it's very documentary-ish. But it is not a documentary. Now, here's a really strange thing about it. It was written and directed by Chloe Zhao. She's from Beijing. She's not from Texas. She's probably never been to a rodeo until she moved over here, if in fact she's ever been to one.
Well, how did she get tied to the project?
Don't know.
That's okay.
That is really amazing.
Bizarre. Well, I'm all about the female director. She certainly captured something.
She certainly did, and it's one of the year's best. And my fear is not many people will see it because they'll look at it and they'll say, I don't want to see a rodeo movie. But this one is as good a rodeo movie as The Electric Horseman was bad. Remember in 1979?
Is that Clint Eastwood?
No, that was Robert Redford.
Oh.
He was the rodeo champion and Jane Fonda was the reporter who was trying to do an expose on him. It was so cliche.
Oh.
What took 2 hours for The Electric Horseman to cover, Glenn Campbell did in 3 minutes of Rhinestone Cowboy and did it better.
Yes.
Okay.
Rest his soul.
So that's merely nothing more than an aside. I don't mean to denigrate Robert Redford and Jane Fonda. They're great actors.
But the writer is worth seeing.
The writer is very much worth seeing.
R-I-D-E-R.
R-I-D-E-R.
Cool.
Now, there's one coming out right now, scheduled for July.
Okay.
Called Eighth Grade. It's about an eighth grader. And unlike most movies about teens, it's actually played by an eighth grader.
Oh, is this like a trend that we're seeing in Hollywood to have?
I hope so.
Huh, interesting.
Okay.
It's not Breakfast Clubby. It's
not at all. No. In fact, it's so brutally honest about the teen years. I have a feeling it's not going to develop an audience amongst teens.
Because they don't want, they're
it's
like,
be
hey, that's my reality.
It's too real for them. It's the reality, it's too real for them. Parents will absolutely love this.
Is it a comedy?
It is. It has some funny scenes in it, yes.
Okay.
It's not, I would not describe it as a comedy. On the other hand, it's not depressing. It's just very, very moving. She's finished her eighth grade year. This is the summer before she starts high school. Try this one on for not your typical teen protagonist. She has no best friend.
Oh, what?
Yeah. Okay. She makes a series of videos on how to make friends, how to get the courage to speak to others at school. And very good videos on her computer. They're YouTube videos. That's how we first are introduced to her. Then when she shuts the laptop off and we see her, we see in her real light, she has acne, she has unkempt hair, she's just a regular teen. And these videos, come to find out, are really more for her own benefit than they are for anyone who might be watching.
Like good self-talk kind of
stuff? Good self-talk, yes. She is shy. She's socially awkward. She's an outsider. It's not that she's an unpopular student. She's just sort of invisible.
But not bullied.
Not really, although when she tries to talk to the most popular girls in school, they don't even look up from their cell phones.
Mean girls.
Yeah, the mean girls. Yes, and that, I guess that's a funny scene. I laughed.
You thought it was funny.
That they
funny,
didn't look
cute,
up from their
not,
cell phones. Yeah.
Right, oh.
And I
but
suppose
they responded, maybe.
But, yes.
Okay.
She goes comfortably unnoticed, but uncomfortably ignored.
Ooh.
Let's put it that way. Mm-hmm.
Very well said.
Mm-hmm.
Now, her dad is the other major character in this movie. He's a single dad. Mm. He's raised her. But now, considering her age, she wants to keep him at arm's length.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
They're all like that.
They're
they don't
all
want
like
to be seen
that.
With mom or dad.
Correct.
And, yeah.
When he's driving her to a function, there's a very funny scene where she asks him to, Dad, please stop being creepy and quiet.
It hurts.
And he said, I thought you wanted me to be quiet. And she said, oh, quiet is fine, but you're being creepy and quiet at the same time. You can't be both. You got to be one or the other.
Yeah, well.
Now, how's a dad supposed to deal with
right,
that?
Right, exactly right.
Okay?
That's tough. That hurts. Hurts your heart a little bit.
he does what he can. He's very good at keeping arm's length. He talks to her when she needs to be talked to. He's not a comic foil the way most dads are in most teen movies. And the other teens are not played by 20-somethings who look good and are polished Hollywood actors.
Yes, Channing Tatum.
Correct.
And
yeah. I mean, these kids are
Jonah Hill.
These kids are actors, but they're young.
Mm-hmm.
And they really are played by young people. There's a campfire scene at the end where the girl and her dad talk just about things, mm-hmm, about life. Mm-hmm. It's so touching. It's really one of the best scenes I've seen in a movie about teens, maybe ever.
So is this kind of like, it's dark, I don't have to acknowledge that this is my dad, I can talk to him because other people are around, or it's more of a, they're just kind of having a really good moment?
A really good heart-to-heart. Mm-hmm. She finally warms up enough to him, even in his state as a father,
mm-hmm,
to ask him about
Mom, maybe?
No, about school. Mom left when she was
okay.
So young, she doesn't even know mom.
Okay,
mom's not even in the picture. But just about school, about her life, about her social status. And her dad's not dumb. He knows she's not the most popular girl in school.
Mm-hmm.
He tries to get her, for example, when she's invited to one of the popular girls' pool parties.
Okay.
She's not particularly excited about going, but he pushes her. He wants her to go. She needs to make more friends.
Mm-hmm. Or at least experience that kind of a social setting.
At
go
least
to a party.
Experience
you're in eighth
it.
Grade, yeah.
Yes, that's right. The dad is played by Jay Richardson, I believe.
Oh, who that is.
Josh Hamilton. That's what I said. Josh Hamilton.
Hamilton.
Yeah. He's been in some other things. Mm-hmm. He's very good. I liked Juno. I liked the Spectacular Now with Shailene Woodley. I like that. I loved Haley Steinfeld in The Edge of 17 a couple of years ago. There have been some very good teen movies in the last 10 years. This is in a class by itself.
Wow, okay.
It is so good. It needs to be seen. And my fear is the kids are going to be so into the blockbusters
right.
and the sequels. And I know there's an Incredibles 2 coming out, and I love The Incredibles.
I
and yes,
too.
I intend to see that. Yes, got
totally
it.
Can't
okay.
wait.
But it's not a superhero movie. It's about real people. My fear is it will be buried.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to us boomers to
it
see
is.
This because that's
Let's
the audience.
Yeah.
That's the audience they're going for.
Who's with us? Yeah.
Yeah. How about that? It was written and directed by a comedian. Bo Burnham is his name. He's a stand-up comedian. It's his first directorial effort. I want to see what else he has.
Hmm.
It's one of the. It's only 90 minutes long. When it ended, I wanted it to go on longer.
Mm-hmm. You want to see her in ninth grade, 10th grade?
I would like to see what happens.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's a brutally honest depiction. Elsie Fisher is the girl. She is a voice actress who is Agnes in the Despicable Me movies. She plays, that's her voice,
wow.
of Agnes.
Yeah.
Okay, this is her first actual.
So she's young?
She's young, yeah. She really is.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that mm-hmm. makes sense. She's one of the kids in Despicable Me.
She is the eighth grade girl
Got
this is about.
Okay.
Excellent movie. It's the best I know of so far, and I haven't seen some of them, but of the ones I've seen that come out this summer, this is the best one.
Okay. Let's recap. So your suggestions to rent on DVD.
Molly's Bloom is the best. It got buried in the Oscar rush. Go see that one. It's Jessica Chastain. It's very mainstream. You'll love that. Then what else did
Novitiate?
I say? Novitiate. Even if you're not Catholic, that is a good movie. It's not great, but it's very good.
Okay.
And if you haven't seen Barnum, you have my permission to, as a critic. I know most critics didn't care for that one. I did.
You're talking about...
That's P.T. Barnum.
Showman. The Greatest Showman.
It's called The Greatest Showman.
And then Tully.
Tully, the writer. They're out now. They're both good. I suppose Tully is a little more mainstream. Although, again, I knew nothing about rodeo writing, and I saw the writer and absolutely loved it.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then Eighth Grade, definitely.
Okay. It's just called Eighth Grade. That's an easy one to remember. We are speaking with Andy Ray from Arts Channel Indie. Thanks for giving us some great suggestions about DVDs and some of the fun or must-see movies. I think it's more must-see than
fun.
Yeah, because I went to that latest Avengers. It was really a two-hour tease for the next movie. I was so disappointed.
I'll tell you what else disappointed me was Steven Spielberg had a movie out recently about a world where everybody plays video. The world
right,
is
I heard
video
about
games.
That.
Yeah. Kids, I suppose, would love it, but it was just too much action, too fast. It needed more downtime. Mm-hmm. It was called Ready Player One.
That's right.
That's what it was. Ready Player One. And it was just on power 10 the whole time, except for a couple very soft scenes.
Sometimes I'm like, just stick with what you do best.
I know.
So thank you for being on the show. We got to wrap it up.
Thank you.
All right. Mary Pat, let's go to the movies. You ready?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Thank you, Andy Ray from Arts Channel Indy. And thank you for listening to Boomer Radio. We will be back next Saturday at 4:30 p.m. right here on Freedom 95.